ancient Greek philosopher Socrates is said to have been the wisest of all Greeks. But when Socrates was asked about this, he replied, "If I am the wisest of all Greeks, it is because I know that I know nothing." You see, Socrates was wise in the sense that he was like an empty vessel, capable of being filled with knowledge and truth, because he knew that he did not know. Similarly, the author of the first reading today was also disposed to accept from God the one gift that had more value than any other gift: wisdom. Scripture scholars tell us that this author was probably King Solomon, considered to be one of the wisest persons who ever lived. Rather than power or riches or health or beauty or a long life, Solomon asked God for the gift of wisdom. Wisdom was regarded as God's own spirit, the intelligence, the holiness, the goodness of the Creator of all things. In asking for the gift of wisdom, Solomon already proved he was wise. Most people, I think, are slow or even reluctant to place high value on something like wisdom, something we can't see, touch, or count. Scripture tells us that wisdom is an incalculable treasure. But like all of God's gifts and blessings, it cannot be earned, it cannot be bought, cannot be merited. It's a pure gift from a gracious God. However, wisdom is a gift that we can ask for, we can receive, but only if we truly desire it and are open to it. This truth is affirmed in today's gospel. A young man ran up to Jesus, knelt before him, and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The young man knew he was in the presence of one who was holy, who spoke and lived the truth, and he knew that he had much to learn. He understood the law. He understood the commandments. No doubt he genuinely longed for eternal life. But his assumptions were wrong. He thought that he could achieve salvation on his own. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" he asked. Jesus challenged him to make a personal sacrifice. Jesus offered a chance for him to make someone else happy by giving to the poor, and then to follow Jesus, unencumbered and free. But the young man was too attached to his possessions. He was torn between wealth and God's kingdom, between his everyday life and eternal life. He was torn between the good life and the great life. And I guess you could say we all are. We tend to attach ourselves to things. And so Jesus gets very personal in this gospel. His message is startling. He frightens the young man, and the man goes away, sad, because he had many possessions. Even Jesus' own disciples were astounded, because the common thinking of the day was that if you were rich, then God must really like you. St. Mark adds a very touching detail to this story. He tells us that Jesus looked at the man and loved him. His heart went out to him. And so he invited the young man to follow him. But he recognized that there was something in this man's life that held him captive. It was his possessions. Jesus offers a specific remedy. He tells the man to give away all that he has. Give it to the poor. Make a difference in someone's life. Give in such a way that it glorifies God. This is what the man needed. Instead, the young man went away sad because he had many possessions. There is nothing wrong with having possessions. We all have them, probably too much of them. Jesus doesn't want this rich young man or any of us to be poor. In fact, Jesus wants to enrich us, enrich our lives. He wants us to live more fully and to know the true joy. He wants us to have lives that are truly worth living, lives that make time for family, for leisure, for prayer, for learning, for worship, for helping others. A life where there's time for prayer and time for fun and time for love. We all have been enriched by the goodness of God and by our faith. It's just that things and the busyness of life can get in the way. And if we're not wise, we can lose out. We can lose our lives in the process. Jesus looks at each and every one of us and loves us, just as he looked with love at the young man in the gospel. And Jesus calls us together week after week so that we can be strengthened and inspired by the Eucharist and then might do something worthy, something good, something beautiful, together. My dear people, we enter the kingdom of God by paying attention to God. There's no other way. And by paying attention to God, we begin to receive the gift of wisdom. I used to think that wisdom came with age. As you get older, you get wiser. Not true. Doesn't happen. I know a lot of old, foolish people. Wisdom comes at any age when we see that God is at hand in everything we do and all around us, in the challenges and in the joys of each day. Wisdom helps us see that God can touch our lives in ways that we never thought were possible. I may not be smarter or less foolish than I was when I was young, but I know this. When I look out at all of you, I do not see strangers. I may not know your names. I may not ever have talked to you, but I know you are my brothers and sisters. We are truly blessed by God, not because we earned it, but for one reason, and one reason only. God loves us. And when we understand that, that's the beginning of wisdom.